If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15 this morning. You know, there's a lot of passages that are preached during this day, recognizing mothers. And, you know, like I said this morning, a lot of, I'm sure, are going to be preached out of Proverbs chapter 31 and other areas. I'm sure there's many other different passages that are being used, but there's a passage of scripture that sticks out that really shows some character traits of what a mom should be. And when I ponder the passage and when I think about it, there's a lot of dynamics. There's a lot of things that are going on. There's some doctrine that's also included in this engagement. But what I find is above all, this mother who is very concerned about her child has a very distinct set of traits that points to Christ. And and we'll get to that in just a moment, but I want us to understand that whenever we start thinking about mothers and we talk about Mother's Day, one thing is very apparent is that when you think about the mom, that mom needs to have a love for Christ. I mean, that is probably one of the most, if you will, I say neglected things that we talk about on Mother's Day. We have a tendency to just, you know, again, talk only about the moms, but this passage is about Jesus Christ. Because it all comes back to Him. Everything is about Him. Everything is for Him. Everything is very clearly outlined as to please Him that we find in the book of Revelation. And we find in this passage an individual that is very unlikely. It's very unlikely. And in Matthew chapter 15, and I want us to pick up in verse 24... Excuse me, actually, we're going to back up a little bit here too. I'm sorry, verse 21. And it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon." And those are areas that are typically inhabited by some Gentiles. "And behold, a woman of Canaan," she's not a Jew, she's a Gentile, "came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time. I thank you again, Lord, for this account that you have recorded for us. I thank you so much, Lord, for what you teach us from your word about who we are and what we are supposed to be. And above all, Lord, these traits that we find in this Canaanite woman, that, Lord, is something that is very clear that we are to follow and to understand. But Lord, it all comes back to seeking you. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand that concept this morning, that we would give you the glory and the praise for all that is done, that our hearts would be humble and ready to receive. We'd be willing to learn and to be instructed of you. I pray this morning for each heart that it would be soft and tender to your word, to your gospel. And all of these things I do ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We find over in the book of Mark the parallel passage in verse 24 through 30. And it calls her a Syrophoenician woman. And we see that she has a Greek background, but she's living in Canaan. She's a Canaanite, if you will, because of where she's coming from, where she dwells. just like I am, you know, originally born in Boise, so I would be a Spud, if you will. But I do call myself a Washingtonian because this is where I live. But what we find is everything about her is Gentile. Everything about her is Gentile. And it's very unique that she would come and she would do this at this point in time. And I'll say this, when we start talking about mothers, and we see her here being a mother because of her daughter, when we start talking about moms, and I guarantee you that any mother that you talk to will confirm and affirm the statement that raising children is going to be fraught with some problems. Amen? All the ladies said? Yeah, that was weak. You know what? You know, as a child grows, some of those problems begin to multiply. Sometimes, you know, when they start moving from an infant to an adult, we find that there are different problems for different ages. You know, obviously the same problems that were going on when the child was just a toddler are very different than when they're 18 years old and they're starting to make some adult decisions in their life. And we find that all of these problems, they all have a solution. And I'll dare say that as we see here very clearly, the solution for every problem is going to be Jesus Christ, the Word of God. When we realize what is going on here, we realize that there's going to be problems that need to be solved with every single age that the child goes through. And a mother has to be aware of all of that. And when I talk about these problems, I want to make sure you understand, when we talk about problems, there are some problems that are good problems, and there are some problems that are just really horrific. There are problems that learn, or, you know, give us the ability to learn. There are some that are corrective in nature. There are some that are very detrimental. But our problems are those, you know, it's like the math test. What do they call it when they put down all those things on the sheet and they've all numbered and they've got all different equations and then you've got those ones that are written out in words? They call them problems. And what do you have to do with them? You have to solve them. And I will say this, one thing that we see is that you're, as a mother, they're problem solvers, amen? They're problem solvers. They've got problems, they see them, and they're going to fix them. And I guarantee you, the problems that faced our mothers may or may not be similar to some of the problems that we have today, but the problems have evolved a little bit, if you can use that word. They've changed. I mean, we have problems nowadays where we have to talk about screen time. We have problems today where we have to talk about navigating the digital world. Do you realize how difficult that is? I guarantee you, if you give a child a device, you better have some controls on that device. Because the stuff that is out there, oh, it'll tear your child's heart right away from the Lord. They're problems. Now, obviously, those have existed from the beginning. Amen? I mean, we find that obviously Cain's heart was torn away from the Lord because he murdered his brother. And then it just kind of, you know, after a while just begins to cascade and, you know, progress and do some things. But what I find is there's various different problems. There was a Pew Research study that was done back in 2003, if I recall, and it talked about some of the issues that plague the worries, if you will, of parents today. The number one problem that it really engaged a majority of the parents today was first and foremost the mental health of their children. We have a mental health crisis in this country. We have abandoned how we take care of those mental issues. We've done that for a long time, and now we're facing some real severe problems with it, and we're trying to figure out how to go about doing these things and how we're supposed to go about taking care of them. I will tell you this, a lot of the mental health problems can be solved by just getting into the book. Yeah. God will correct the thinking processes. But what we find is that's a number one issue. So one of the other issues that we find is that they struggle with worrying whether their child is going to be bullied. They worry about whether or not the child is going to be kidnapped or abducted. And I will tell you, in this day and age, that is a legitimate concern. More so than it has been when I was a child, or even when my mom was a child. Why? Because in this day and age, it's huge trafficking. By the way, the corridor for trafficking in the United States of America is the entire I-5 corridor from Mexico to Canada. And you know where one of the biggest hubs is? Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon. They abduct and they lure these children, both male and female. And they take them and they ship them either to Mexico or Canada. They get them across the border and they're gone. They're sold to whomever to live a horrific life. If you talk to any of those survivors that have endured that, it's tragic. But these are some of the problems that are there. You know, obviously, you know, there's the concern about having access to drugs and alcohol. There's concerns nowadays about having your children get shot. There's concerns about, getting married or hooking up with the wrong person. There's all sorts of stuff, including, you know, some of the old school ones, which was like, is the child going to get in trouble with the police? All of these are concerns and problems, but what we find in this passage is that this woman had a very serious problem with her daughter. To be, if you will, plagued of a devil, to be here in a situation where she's grievously vexed by something, this is a spiritual issue. This isn't something that you can solve by waving sage around or trying to appease it or anything of that nature. This is a very spiritual problem, and she knew she needed a spiritual fix. There was a spiritual solution for it. And she had heard the name Jesus. Over there in the book of Mark, and if you'll turn there very quickly just to see that parallel passage and read it very briefly, there's only a few verses in regards to it, but it points out some of these issues. In Mark chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Jesus Christ is taking a little bit of a reprieve here, but here's the situation. The fact that Jesus was in town spread like wildfire. Because we find, it says in verse 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children be first filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. So we find here that she's very aware of the fact of who Jesus is. She's very aware of what the solution of the problem is. And she knows it's the Lord. And she knows that's the only way this is going to get fixed. And I will say that is one primary thing that mothers need to know in this day and age. Don't go to the world. Don't try to seek things from men. And we're going to find that out in just a moment. But definitely constantly seek the Lord to make sure that the solution is solved in a godly manner, in a Christ-like manner, and is fixed and fixed for good. In this passage, we find obviously that Christ is the solution to the problem, to any problem. And again, you know, I will say this, that above every problem, there is the greatest solution. And we have to understand that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And we understand from that concept and that verse that very clearly Jesus Christ is greater than any problem you're going to face. I don't care what problem you're facing. Jesus Christ is going to be far greater than that. And while those problems may seem insurmountable, those problems may seem like they're never going to get fixed. I mean, you may have a bunch of, you know, questions and issues about it, but I will tell you this, when there's a good application of Christ and the Word of God in your life, those problems are no longer problems. They may still exist, as in the form of them may still be in your life, but how you deal with them is going to be very different, and it's not going to be problematic for you. Just like Paul over there when he had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed to the Lord three times and the Lord said, no. You do realize that that is an answer God retains.
Right.
He retains the answers of yes, no, and wait. And sometimes when it's the wait, it's the silent part. It's the silent part. And that silent part is to get you to consider and to think, how much further are you going to go to pursue this? Just like with this woman back over in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 23, he didn't answer her at first. And as she's obviously making a big ruckus, the disciples are a little irritated by the whole thing. Way to go, guys. He finally does give some answers. And in when we think about this, here she is, this Gentile. She, you know, she makes a comment about, you know, eating the crumbs. And look, if you've ever had a dog, our dog Rolo, he's very much underneath our feet when we eat. I mean, I'm talking physically at our feet. If something happens to slide off your fork and miss the plate and fall on the ground, he is there. One time I was taking some chicken nuggets out of the oven. One of the chicken nuggets slid off. Still hot. It was like burning hot. It hit the floor. He was already there. All I saw was this white and brown, whoop, and he was on that chicken nugget. And he was gobbling that chicken nugget down, and it's burning his tongue, and he's like, spitting out. And then he's like, and you couldn't get it because he'd grab it, and he would run, and he's like, he didn't care how hot it was. It was a crumb that fell from the master's table. He's like, that's mine. I claimed it, and you can't have it. And that was his. I dare say she took that, and she didn't take it as an insult. She took it as something in humility. But what we find with this woman is that, number one, one of the key character traits that every mother should really truly possess that are biblical is, you know what? She had extreme concern for her child. She had extreme concern for her child. Turn over to the book of Romans. You can keep your place there in the book of Matthew. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, there's some things that are very much kind of, if you will, read like a prophecy for today. In verse 26 of Romans chapter 1, it says, for this cause God gave him up unto vile affections. And why is that? Because they would not retain God in their knowledge. In verse 26, it says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. We find that this is something that happens. We find that it happens to men too, but we find that that is something that is there. And you find in this day and age, there's a lot of women that don't care about their children. They don't care about them. Look at verse 31. It says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Excuse me, here he is. He's talking about this is the result of purging God from your knowledge. He talks about that over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, as a sign of the last days, that there's going to be things without natural affection. You know, in this day and age, When we think about that word without natural affection, we're talking about the affection towards somebody. We're talking about how they view those that whom they're supposed to love. Obviously, the women need to be taught over there in Titus. He points out that they need to be taught how to love their children. This is a joke that I'm sure will get passed around throughout the day today, but there's always this joke that is there where this one guy asks this woman that had three children and says, you had three kids. That was a lot of work. And she goes, yeah. Some of you are like, ha, three, ha. But I'll tell you this. He said, you had three kids. It was a lot of work. And she goes, yeah. He said, well, if you had to do it all over again, would you do it? Have three kids again? And she goes, absolutely. I just have three different kids. But some of you do not say amen on that one, all right? I'm just going to say. But I will say this. You know, she showed a very great desire towards her daughter, her daughter's plight, her daughter's spiritual situation. She truly cared for her daughter. And as a mother, that is something that is at the very top of what you should be wanting in your life, is have a true desire and love for that heritage that God has given to you, your child. You know, that's what makes a mother a mother. Versus, dare I say, a birthing person. Just because somebody gives birth, a woman, I'll clarify, a woman, a female gives birth to treading on dangerous territory here, gives birth, I will tell you this, doesn't necessarily mean she's a mother. It takes more to be a mother than to just give birth. And it takes a great deal of care and concern. And she showed, if you will, exemplary concern for her daughter, in so much that she would go and seek out the Savior. She was, dare I say, she was always looking for a solution to the problem. And when she had heard that Jesus Christ was in the city, was in the area, and he was, if you will, hid, she sought him. She sought him. And that leads us to the next thing that a mom has as a character trait. Determination. Now look, there's sometimes people can be determined and purposed to do things that are, if you will, contrary to the Word of God. But I'm talking about here, she was determined to solve the problem, to find a resolution for the problem, but she was determined to figure out a way to handle it spiritually. I don't know what she had tried. It doesn't tell us. And our minds could run wild with what she may or may not have tried or tried to do. I'm sure the Greeks had all sorts of things, and those that were in, if you will, that area of Canaan, I'm sure they had all sorts of incantations and, you know, spells and enchantments to try to drive that thing away, that obviously were not, none of that had probably worked. I don't know if she tried any of that, but I do know this, is that she knew that one of the biggest, you know, things she had to take care of in this child's life was dealing with that devil. And she knew that there was only one solution at this point, and that was the one that she heard could cast out devils. She was determined. She had heard of Jesus. She sought him. I mean, he's hid in somebody's house. Now, I'm sure, I don't know how that happened, and my mind can run wild, and this is, you know, again, a little bit of an insight in Ken Stewart's mind, which is a dark and dangerous place. But I will tell you this, you know, I think about that, and I kind of contemplate of, okay, well, when she heard he was there, did she have a specific address? Did she know which home? Or was it something where she's like, he's here? Where? Well, he's in somebody's house. She's probably like, okay, well, I didn't see anybody come down my neighborhood. So she goes into the next neighborhood. Yes. Is Jesus here? Who? Obviously not. Goes into the next one. Is Jesus here? No. What are you looking at? Who? No, okay. You know, keeps going down and then finally, is Jesus here? Yeah. I gotta talk to him. You know, she was diligent and determined to find the one solution to her problem. And I will tell you this, as a mom, and what makes a good mom, what is a good character trait of a mom, is to be determined to find the one solution to the child's problems. And that is to constantly go to Jesus about it. To go to Jesus about every single problem that comes up. To go to the Word of God. To get it fixed through the spiritual means. You know, over in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it's a passage that I talk about frequently. God tells the nation of Israel to seek Him with their whole heart. It talks about over there in Isaiah chapter 55 and in verse 6, something similar where the Lord wants you to seek Him while He can be found. You know, there is a point in time where the Lord will not be found in your life. Yeah. You're like, well, isn't He always there? Yeah. But you know, there's a point in time where He's not going to be there for you to seek. And that's a dangerous thought to think about when He's telling the nation of Israel, you need to seek Him while He can be found. Because there will be a time where they won't be able to. And when you're at the judgment seat of Christ, that's not the time to seek Jesus. When you're dead and in the grave, that's not the time to try to seek Jesus. There is no final call of redemption at the judgment, at the great white throne judgment. There is no final opportunity. The time to seek Jesus is right here, right now, in this life. You seek Him while He can be found. I'll tell you, there's probably days that are coming, and there are going to be days that are going to be very difficult for this world, as the Scripture talks about, where there's going to be times where people are going to try to seek the Lord, and He's not going to be around. It's going to be difficult to find. It's going to be difficult to find a Bible. It's going to be difficult to find people that are true believers. Why? Because everybody's afraid and they're being persecuted. And a bunch of people have turned and said they're willing to follow some man all the way into the depths of hell, knowing full well what it means. We understand that there's going to be a deceit that comes, that they're going to believe a lie. And when we think about all of that, we realize that here she is, and she's taking that opportunity. When she hears He's there, she's on her feet and she's looking. And I'll tell you this, you know what? You're going to run into difficulties when you try to seek Jesus. When she tries to find Jesus, guess who was in the way? You got to love the 12. You know, as I said before, there's a term for the Christian that's in a church that tries to do something and just does it the backwards way, and you know, just doesn't do it, and they call them well-intentioned dragons, and to a degree, that's kind of what they were. They're like, well, we need to protect the Lord from this pesty woman. They entreated Him and said, just send her away. We're tired of the crying. You know, she had to overcome men's indifference. And I'll tell you this, sometimes when you are trying to get a problem solved, you're going to run into some indifference. You're going to find some people that are going to be indifferent towards you and your problem. But you know what? That didn't stop her. She continued to seek the Lord. She continued to cry after the Lord. She continued to plead for help with God. She was determined. Despite disciples who probably could have cast that devil out, by the way, because they'd done it before. But here's this Gentile dog that they're like, ah, another Gentile. And you're like, no, well, did they really have that attitude? Go over to the book of John where some Greeks show up and they want to start hanging out with Jesus and they start wanting to learn about Jesus. And they come to Jesus and they're like, hey, these guys aren't supposed to be here. And Jesus says, let them be. Why? Because it's always been the plan that God would save the Gentiles too. He had a specific ministry that was going on here. And he tells her there's a specific ministry that's going on. But she understands, and she doesn't worry about that. She goes to the Lord and says, hey, all I want is just one little blessing. One little crumb. You know what she had? She had unwavering faith. Jesus points this out. And I'll tell you this, when you go back over there to some other passages where you go over to a few passages prior over in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, what does he tell? He says there was an individual that had faith that he hadn't even seen in Israel. And what was he? He was a centurion. He was a Roman. He was a Gentile. He was the oppressor. But he wasn't that big of an oppressor because he loved the people. He loved what God loved. And he had faith. And he knew that all that Jesus had to do was just say the word. And it would be done. And God comments on his faith, a Gentile. And then he comments on another woman's faith as a Gentile. To a book that's dealing with Jews that are faithless. Pointing out and saying, look at those guys, they've got more faith than the whole lot of you. And he comments to her where he says, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. It wasn't just a little bit of faith, which he had already, I mean, he had condemned the disciples a couple of times where he said, O ye of little faith. And here's this woman, she is being declared of Christ as great faith. She had unwavering faith. You know, while, like you said, while the disciples could have fixed the problem, they probably could have done, she didn't seek a man. She didn't seek a man, she sought after the Christ alone because she had faith in Christ alone. And I will tell you this, when it comes to salvation, we know that. Salvation is not in a man. Salvation isn't in our own works. Salvation isn't by, you know, doing some sort of ritualistic thing. Salvation isn't in baptism. Salvation isn't in the Lord's Supper. Salvation isn't in doing good works. Salvation isn't in any of those. It's not about giving money or anything of that nature. You know where salvation is found? Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him is what He said. There is no name under heaven by which we must be saved other than Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no one else. There's no one here on the face of this earth that can provide that kind of salvation, that can provide that kind of help. And you know what? She kind of realized that. And I will tell you this, one of the key traits that a mother needs to have is not only extreme care for those that have been given to her as a blessing, she also needs to have determination to find the right solution for the problem. She also needs to have unwavering faith in Christ and in Him alone. And what does she do? She seeks Him to solve the problem. And like others, she demonstrated faith when it was tried. You know, the Lord wasn't being rude. He wasn't being indifferent. But if there's one thing that I know is that your faith will be tried. Abraham's faith was tried. Moses' faith was tried. Oh my. Noah's faith was tried, wasn't it? You go over there to the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 11, and you read those passages that talk about people's faith. And I will tell you this, all of them, their faith was tried, was it not? It was tried during difficult times. It was tried in moments when there was not much, you know, being said. I mean, could you imagine Abraham, you know, after hearing "go offer your son," and then God doesn't say anything else? Just go offer your son. No explanation. Just go. And Abraham goes, okay. He exercised faith. Here she is, she's doing the same thing. He's exercising, you know, trying to exercise that faith by saying, okay, well, I'm not going to say anything. Let's see what she does. I guarantee you this, you know, many times when there's no answer, sometimes people are like, well, I guess I'll just stop praying. Don't. My family, my brother and I, and mom and dad, we witnessed to a young Lebanese man for 3 years. And we prayed 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 for 3 years for this young man. And he was a Muslim, and I'll tell you this, there's a lot to deal with when it comes to Islam. And we prayed and we witnessed and we prayed and we witnessed and we prayed and we witnessed. And we were just faithful in that. And you know what? Finally, at one point, he knew he needed to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. That Islam, Allah, nor Muhammad would save his soul. She had unwavering faith in Jesus. Even when it's tried. Even when men said, stop having faith. Even when men tried to send her away. Even when she realized she was asking for something that was pretty big, considering this was Jesus' ministry to the Jews at this point in time, talking about the kingdom of heaven. She's like, I just want one crumb. And with all of that, I will say this, just wanting the one crumb. And it wasn't an insult, by the way, what Jesus said. I will tell you this, you know, some people would take that as an offense or an insult. Look, you know, people are going to say stuff to you. They're going to call you names. They're going to accuse you of garbage. They're going to say all sorts of stuff. Don't let that affect your faith. Men are going to say that. What the Lord's doing here is he's seeing exactly how much she wants this, how much faith she truly has, as he's testing this faith, to show the disciples and those that were around, this is what real faith looks like, guys. This is what real faith looks like. And through all of that, you know what? She was humble. And I say that to say this, you're going to be offended. Somebody's going to say something to you that's just going to be like, what? And you're going to sit there and go, no. And whether you decide to, like, you know, try to restrain from fisticuffs, or whether you're going to, you know, try to engage in vengeance and try to take them out, and you sit there and you plot and you scheme, and it keeps you up at night, and you think about it in the shower while you're doing your hair, everything about it, and you're just like so focused on that. Look, she didn't think about that. You know what was still at the forefront? This is Jesus Christ. He's the solution to my problem. I understand I'm a dog. And I'll tell you this, we all need to understand that when we come to Jesus Christ, we're all sinners. We come to Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. We all need the salvation that He provides. We are all seeking that. You don't come to the Lord with pride going, Lord, I know I need salvation, but you know, I'm a pretty good guy. And I think, you know, maybe I deserve a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you know, I'm pretty sure I can help you. No. That's not what God is looking for. He's looking for somebody to come and draw near to Him in humility and humbleness. And what we find is she's doing the same thing where she's worshiping Jesus Christ and He's saying, look, this isn't meant for you. These things are not meant for you. And what is it she says? She says, but I can at least have one little piece, right? I can at least have one little piece. And here she is, crying out unto God. And she's doing this with a very humble heart. You know what mothers need to have? A humble heart. Turn over to Psalm chapter 22. We'll be done here in just a moment, but as we look at these traits, and I'm sure there's others that can be gleaned from this passage, there's others that we can glean from other areas of Scripture. But what I see this woman as a mother to her daughter with the extreme care for her daughter, with the determination to solve the problem the right way, with the unwavering faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, with the humbleness that she has. Here she is, and she's crying out for, of all things, what does she say? She says, have mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is where you're getting something you don't deserve. She knows she doesn't deserve this. She knows that her lifestyle probably doesn't align with what Jesus has been saying. She understands she's not a Jew. She understands that she's just a Gentile that is going to be able to partake of maybe a little bit of a crumb, and she's just begging for that one little thing. She's got a humbleness of heart, and in Psalm chapter 22, and in verse 2, when I think about that, I think about this. I think about where it says, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not in the night season, and am not silent. Even when He was silent to her, she still cried, just like the psalmist did. She was very persistent in her prayer. She was very persistent in that. And in order to do that, she had to humble herself. She had to, if you will, cast aside being a Gentile dog. She had to cast aside her pride. You know, I guarantee you, if somebody was to say that to somebody in a church today, well, you don't deserve that because you're just a dog. They'd probably be like, well, I'm going to go find another church. And here's Jesus Christ saying it. You know what she does? She takes her pride and she says, nope, my daughter's got a problem. This isn't about me. This mother was selfless. She was seeking something she didn't deserve for her daughter, whom she loved. She knew the only source for the solution was Jesus Christ. She exemplifies a godly, faithful mother. A Greek Syrophoenician dwelling in the land of Canaan. And here she is in a book that is all about the Jews and their kingdom. That God's going to give to them, that He's going to rule and reign on with them. And in the middle of it, you've got this Gentile woman begging for one little piece. And God grants it. You know, this is truly what a God-seeking mother of faith should look like. This persistent woman this woman that truly feared the Lord, that truly sought the Lord, and found Jesus Christ does answer prayer and does answer the cry of mercy and help when needed. That is what a good godly mother looks like. Let's go ahead and stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, in a moment we'll pray. But I do want to offer this, and I'll say this about our problems. The biggest problem that we face is a problem of sin that keeps us from having an eternal home in heaven, that keeps us from having a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Creator, our God. And the only solution for that sin problem is Jesus. What He did and what He gave on the cross at Calvary. And the power of His resurrection that we just recently, you know, celebrated, if you will, and truly praised God for. And I will say this, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to get that sin problem taken care of today, because you don't know what tomorrow is. Maybe you grew up in church your whole life. Maybe you grew up in a Christian family. Maybe you grew up hearing about Jesus a lot, and maybe you realize you have never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and that has happened, you know, that's you, I implore you, come during this invitation and come receive Jesus Christ. If you're here today and this is the first time you've heard this, if this is the first time you're hearing about Jesus, you're the first time you're hearing about the need for a Savior and what that even means, and you've got questions, come. Somebody will show you from the Word of God what that means. This isn't about trying to be discreet and bashful. This is just something that you need to come. And trust me, nobody here is going to judge you. Nobody is going to look at you poorly. Nobody is going to think anything ill of you. They're just going to look at you and they're going to praise the Lord that you're asking questions about your eternal soul. Just come today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time. Thank You again, Lord, for what You show us about what a godly mother looks like. I thank You for giving us this account and preserving it in Your Word, Lord, that we would see these things. And I pray, Lord, we'd meditate on them, and Lord, we would use them in our life to truly exemplify the testimony of what You have done for us on the cross and through the power of Your resurrection. Your love towards us, that, Lord, we would live to please You and honor You. Pray, Lord, You continue to meet with us as we sing. I ask this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.